Blog Talk Radio.
And hello.
Moment that, of course, is Robin Hackett. And welcome to Living the Undeniable Life. That's what this program is going to be about. It's what it's about. Yes, it's metaphysical, spiritual, law of attraction based. But in addition, we'll be sharing stories from my radio career. And the many artists that I've met, and in some cases have assisted in establishing or resurrecting their career. I am a life coach. I am a licensed spiritual practitioner. I am an author of the Balboa Press Hay House book entitled Your God's Best Idea, Divine Acceptations and Living the Undeniable Life. It was released in the summer of 2011, so we're coming up on the fourth anniversary of the book's release. You can get it at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, also at BalboaPress.com. You can ask for it at your local bookstore. and much of what I will share with you in each and every episode are the writings and the stories and the epigrams from that book. And I always plan on doing more than I actually get done. Yesterday I had two or three additional stories I wanted to share, and I just didn't get to them. I tend to, some people say it that I tend to ramble on. I prefer to call it a stream of consciousness. Sounds a little better, right? Because this is all about awareness and consciousness. So, let's welcome you to another day, episode 4 of Living the Undeniable Life. It's sponsored by Shosai Healthy Chocolate. It is the only trademark healthy chocolate on the planet. Don't believe me? Look it up. You know, the interesting thing is that they're based right here in Reno, Nevada, which is kind of nice. You know, it's rare that the company, if you're into multi-level marketing, it's rare that the company that you distribute for are right there in your hometown. So they are. And they're great people over there, and it's a great product. It's a cold pressed version of the healthiest plant on the planet, which is the cacao bean. And you know, we're supposed to consume around 10,000 antioxidants a day in order to fend off the antioxidants that are in our food, or the free radicals that are in our food and in the atmosphere and in the environment and the sun. We're supposed to consume 10,000 a day. The average American gets less than 900. The shake that I take every day gives me over 100,000. So with the consumption of one Shosai healthy shake mix, I get 10 times the number of antioxidants that I need to make me feel good and look good. And I'm 53 years of age. But if you look at my picture, do I look like I'm 53? No. That's good living, and it's Shosai Healthy Chocolate. If you'd like to find out more, just click the link on the descriptor of episode 4. Today, we're going to talk about divine promise, intentions, and inspiration, okay? Divine promise. If you believe life is random with no purpose, what you'll manifest is purposeful randomness. I often describe it as being a pinball, and you're not the one pulling the lever. And then once you're inside a pinball machine, boom, 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 you just, you know, you rattle around. And I would say about 98% of the people on the planet live their lives like that, with little intention and focus, wants, needs, some desires, but they're not the one pulling the lever or putting the quarter in the machine. And that's what these teachings are all about. The pointed palisade parts when presented with a prodigious purpose. You know what a palisade is, right? It's, you know, in all those Disney fairy tale movies where there's a castle, the palisades are those pointed things that lead, accent the entrance into the castle or into the town. That's a palisade. The pointed palisade parts when presented with a prodigious purpose. So what is your purpose? Later on, I'm going to tell you exactly what your purpose is for you. But for now, what is your purpose? Have you thought about it? Have you written it down? Because until you do that, again, you're the proverbial pinball. You see what you believe. So it's up to us to see perfection, because we are perfect, whole, and complete. I see perfect purpose. Twitter, which was a catalyst for my reaching out to the universe and to you on this fine, fine day, has brought like-minded people together from all over the globe, as has Facebook, in different ways. They're different modalities. I look at Twitter as being sort of a mass connection, Facebook being a little bit more narrow-casted. Facebook, it's my high school friends, It's the friends I've made in the radio business over the last 35 years. And it's law of attraction, folks who have a metaphysical slant. Twitter, on the other hand, are all those people. Actually, not too many of my high school friends or radio folks. In fact, almost none of them. Almost all of my Twitter followers are people who are interested in motivation, inspiration, self-help, health, metaphysics, the law of attraction, so on and so forth. By the way, here's a trick. If you want to get a lot of followers fast, if you're saying to yourself, no one's ever going to follow me, this is what you do. Whatever your interest is, for instance, if it's law of attraction or inspiration or motivation, pick out a guru or a leader in that category and then go to their followers and start following them, because 90 to 95% of every person's followers are people that are following them for the express purpose of what they represent and how they serve. So go to Wayne Dyer's page, go to Louise Hay's page, go to Greg Braden's page, go to Bruce Lipton's page, and follow those folks. And probably one out of every three, maybe as much as 50%, will follow you back, and that's how you build your Twitter community very quickly. All right. So, would you agree that people are more empowered today as ever before? I believe so. The internet has leveled the playing field. There are people that run very successful multi-million dollar businesses who don't have a brick and mortar office. They operate from their home or even on the road. That's what I'm doing right here, sitting in my living room talking to you. The internet is an instant publisher. I've published over 100 essays on my blog site. It's Blogspot. I never know how to always get this backwards. It's either dougshares.blogspot.com or it's blogspot.dougshares.com. It's one of those two. You can find it. And I published 100 essays there. I have over nearly 18,000 social media followers who follow my tweets. I have a website and a Facebook page and now an internet radio show. And the cost of that was minimal. The website cost about $120 per year. This show cost me about $40 a month. Let's see. Well, the Twitter was free. The blog page was free. So if you want to be heard, if you have something to share, you can do it for next to nothing today. So go ahead and get going. Power to you, the people, my peeps. And we know that the Twitter has been very instrumental in several revolutions and uprisings. We often find out on Twitter, the Osama bin Laden thing, I believe, was first posted on Twitter before it was anywhere else, because a guy in the neighborhood saw all the helicopters coming down. Crazy, right? So this is about divinity, inherent divinity. And it can work with you, through you, and as you, in order to fulfill divine promise, because we're talking about promise right now. So when what you are meant for means something to you, you will have found your purpose. So you're meant for something. Now, I believe you choose what you're meant for, but I also believe that you're predisposed to something spiritually speaking, whether or not you tap into that or not. And if you don't, there's something that means something to you. Maybe it's the environment. Maybe it's adoption. Maybe it's autism. If it means something to you, then you've probably found your purpose. In my case, lots of things mean things to me, and juggling them is a bit of a chore from time to time. But my most important thing is sharing the message of inherent divinity, that you are from day one, even before you get here. You are divine and important. You're needed and necessary, loved and the beloved. So much has been written about purpose. What is your purpose? That's the question that we're asking. Hopefully by the end of this show or by the end of the day, you'll know what it is in case you're not sure yet. So at the end of the day, or your life, our bank account is not the measure of our lives. It is the fulfillment of purpose and promise. In other words, it is up to you what you do. However, I believe you are a divine child of promise, and your purpose is to fulfill your divine promise. I do believe it exists. That nagging feeling that pokes you in the gut is your divinity seeking expression. Instead of asking, what's in it for me? How about what's in it, or what's in me for it? That's the question. I'm going to ask it again. What is in it for me? What's in me for it? Because you are God expressing God and experiencing God. God is experiencing God through you, and you are experiencing God through God in yourself. You are starring in the movie of your life. Why not give yourself the best lines? As we explored in one of the earlier chapters, your five-star life, you are the director of your life. So are you creating a love story or a horror movie? Is it a film people will want to see again and again, or one that they'll walk out on? When you allow your inner divinity to unfold, it will direct you in the right direction. So would you let someone reach over your back and drive your car? Then don't let anyone else drive your life. Everyone has the keys, but few are in control. Put your hands on the wheel. Although it's cool to put it in cruise control from time to time when you let divinity drive. Now, if you can compose yourself, you can write your life. W-R-I-T-E. Or R-I-G-H-T. They both work. The above epigram, of course, is a double entendre. Your emotions play a significant role in how your life unfolds. Your emotions and feelings are vibrating at frequencies that attract like feelings and emotions, and they repel those that don't match. If you are emotionally erratic, you are likely to repel composed people. And for the most part, composed people are the ones making most of the important decisions at every level. The last thing any organization can afford is an erratic and overly emotional member. It is also true that you are responsible for the authorship of your life, which is your composition. Know, however, that it is perfectly okay to reference a dictionary. In my analogy, the dictionary is the limitless number of divine beings available through divinity. So I needed an editor for my book, and I had limited funds. I found one in my own church center. Her name was Meg Chafin. Hello, Meg. And I found a couple of additional ones, Marlene McCauley and Reverend Barbara Adams, who at the time were operating at Creative Thought magazine, which unfortunately no longer exists. They were able to edit, spell check, and make sure all the grammar was correct and the punctuation was correct. So thank you, Marlene. Thank you, Meg. Thank you, Barbara. The universe is here to help. It's conspiring on your behalf. We see you. I see you. Life is good. Trust me. When this stuff, when you apply these principles and get things going, you're going to need a bigger highlighter. That's a promise. You are a divine distribution center. Your purpose is to distribute the attributes of God, peace, love, and understanding, are three of my favorites, It also includes power, light, kindness. What could be better than that? Knowing that you are the means in which God is delivered. Now, obviously, this is an inside job. But when someone's doing the work from the inside, oftentimes it is from the outside where the goods, or the God, is delivered. It's just amazing. Last night, I was visiting my friends at Sparks Marina. Which Sparks is the other city in Reno that most people aren't aware of. When you visit Reno, Nevada, you may very well be staying in Sparks, Nevada. They're basically twin cities. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know why it's just not one city, but that's the way it is. But I walk at Sparks Marina, and as I was mentioning on an earlier show, every day I meet somebody new. And if I end up talking to them for any length of time, it usually means they have a story to tell that might be good for my next book or essay or blog. And the fellow I met last night, I'd met several times before, but we started talking about, you know, life and whatnot, and one thing led to another. And I shared with him that I was an author and an internet radio show host, and he was digging what I was saying. I think he was a little bit more of in a traditional kind of Catholic mode, but he was very open to the things I was sharing and agreeing on all of them. And then he told me the story about his father, who had a near-death experience, and like most of those near-death experiences, experienced heaven and the people that have passed over, and it was just an amazing story. And so I told him, I said, I would love to interview your father and get some of that stuff in the next book. And he said, yeah. So things start happening like that. I meet people with the most amazing stories. And they're the ones who share them with me without my prodding. It's really, it's how this thing works. It's how the things that you need to unfold and manifest your dreams and goals happen. But you got to have them in mind and in your heart and know that they are going to unfold and that in spiritual reality, they have already unfolded. It's just a matter of the process. Just like when you plant a seed, whatever kind of seed it is, that magic happens. You know, scientists don't even know how that happens when dirt, soil hits seeds, exactly what it is that happens. They just know that it does. And there's a process. Sometimes plants grow very fast, like a chia plant. The bamboo plant, however, grows for 10 years underground and then almost overnight can grow 10, 20 feet a day. And so there is a divine time and a divine process in all manifestations. Sometimes it's like that. Instant healing and revealing. Sometimes, like the bamboo, it takes a little while, but it begins with the idea and the knowing. So, be open to the possibilities. Even when you are one of the most successful caterpillars, you are still apt to get stepped on. Trust me, I've been stepped on. I've been kicked around and beaten up, mostly figuratively. In my younger days, literally. It's butterfly time. And you're talking to the person who was responsible for planting the seed that made Butterfly Kisses a multi-million seller. I tell that story in the book. We'll talk about it on this show someday in the future. But you would have never heard Butterfly Kisses if it wasn't for this guy right here. So are you subjecting yourself to the whims of an unbalanced boss or boyfriend? I can honestly say that in my 35 years of broadcasting, I've had two or three great bosses. I attracted the good ones and all those not so good ones as well. They were all excellent teachers, and I'm grateful for what they taught me. The thing I learned most was I need to be my own boss most of the time. So be the boss of your thoughts. Hire the good ones, fire the bad ones. Essentially, this is the case anyway, right? We are the CEOs of our lives and with a dynamic partner in the infinite intelligence which we, most of us, call God, and shares our divinity. So I had fulfilled my original radio goals and dreams by the age of 28. I have since had to hit the reset button several times. I'm doing it again today, or doing it again with this show. You are limited only by your imagination. Neville Goddard was big on imagination. Wayne Dyer wrote an entire book on the Neville Goddard work, Wishes Fulfilled. By the way, there is nothing wrong with borrowing another's imagination as well. Create a mastermind group, the group I created several years ago. It kept my dream on course. We would check in every week. It eventually dissipated when it was no longer necessary, and frankly, I moved. But without that mastermind group, I'm not sure that first book would have come about. And frankly, I really need to get another mastermind group going in order to get on the ball and get the follow-up book finished and published. The mastermind group is a Napoleon Hill concept, and I do invite you to check out the Napoleon Hill work. Yeah, because he was something else. And a lot of it, even some of the old films, are online at YouTube. Is this all there is? Yes, and so much more. Your humanity envelops your divinity. So turn yourself inside out. The bottom line is to express God and to do it in a way that serves. You can get rich through it or be richer for it. So my purpose is to express God in the way only I can. So we all have a unique perspective. We all have unique talents. We all have a unique point of consciousness and universal mind. So what I can do is write. I can put words together in interesting combinations. I can inspire, motivate, articulate, and speak, teach, and reach as many people as possible with the message that they are God's best idea. And they probably should feel pretty good about that. And it's a real nice thing to lean on in times when you don't feel so good about yourself or what's going on. You are loved and you are the beloved, and no person can take your divinity away. They can take a lot of things. I mean, in some countries, your freedom is taken. Your freedom of expression is taken. I mean, we live in a pretty amazing country if you're listening here in America. But there are still, I mean, you can only drive a certain, so fast. there are some limitations in terms of what the rules and laws and policies are. But in terms of your inherent divinity, that's yours forever and ever and ever. A compromising consciousness consciously compromises your promise. A compromising consciousness consciously compromises your promise. So if you're compromising your consciousness with thoughts of lack, that's a conscious decision. I'm sure. I mean, yes, your subconscious is at work doing most of the work, and yes, some of our thoughts are patterns, well grooved in our neural pathways and our synapses, but you still can master your thoughts and your feelings and emotions. And until you do that, you compromise your consciousness, your vibrations, your frequencies, your awareness, and ultimately the promise that quite possibly you haven't fulfilled yet, which is why you might be listening to this show. So let's talk about promise and fulfillment of promise. This is a fantastic story. The movie director, actor, writer Woody Allen is credited with the contemporary cliche, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. It is also the inspiration for a wonderful song, Make God Laugh, from singer-songwriter Billy Mann's 1998 Earthbound album. Billy Mann visited my radio station in Wheeling, West Virginia during the promotion of this particular album. His self-titled debut was released in 1996 to much critical acclaim. Billy's voice sounds like a mix of Stevie Wonder and Kenny Loggins. His songwriting is reminiscent of Paul Simon and Van Morrison. Billy Mann was going to be the next big thing in the mid to latter part of the 1990s. And you're probably saying, well, Doug, I've never heard of Billy Mann. There's more to the story. Billy Mann's record company, A&M, had difficulty marketing Billy's music, even though they knew he was an incredible artist. The big money is usually generated at top 40 rock, hip-hop, and urban radio, the formats that attract younger audience who are more likely to spend money on music, especially in the last 25 years. Although it's always been the case, generally speaking, your top 40 charts are generated by the likes and dislikes and the taste of the average 13-year-old girl. That's always been the case. That's why they call it teeny bop pop. Anyway, in the mid-1990s, the dominant sound was top 40, grunge rock, rap, and urban, as I mentioned. Now, if you were a neo-pop singer, you needed to be the frontman of a pop alternative group like Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish. And even that didn't last very long. Darius Rucker is now a country artist. Or Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20. And, of course, Rob ended up basically going on his own as well. So by 1996, there were very few mass appeal hit singles coming from adult artists like Michael Bolton, Billy Joel, Rod Stewart, or Phil Collins. Billy Mann was more like these artists, thinking people, fantastic lyrics, and wonderful melodies. There's been a dearth of that kind of music, frankly, since the mid-1990s. I think that's why Sam Smith recently won all those Grammy Awards, because lo and behold, he was writing hummable melodies and singing sweet songs. We haven't had a lot of that in the last 20 years. Billy Mann was an artist like that. So he was a newcomer, and there was really no soft place for him to land, radio-wise, in the mid to late 1990s. Now, Billy comes from Philadelphia, one of America's most soulful cities, home of the legendary Philadelphia International Record Label and its hit-making producers, Kenneth Gamble and Leon Huff, along with Tom Bell. So in the 1970s, you remember the Philadelphia sound being the label of Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, the OJs, Teddy Pendergrass, Lou Rawls, the Three Degrees, and Billy Paul. Me and Mrs. Jones. Oh, I love that song. So the Philadelphia International Record Label was to the 1970s what Motown was to the 60s, a hit factory of the nation's best rhythm and blues. The soul music touched its native-born son, Billy Mann, as it did Daryl Hall and Hall & Oates and many, many others. It wasn't unusual to hear the 12-year-old Billy singing on Philadelphia street corners. Once Billy set out on his own, he sang on the street corners of San Francisco, Miami, London, and New York. Billy had moved to the Big Apple to be with Daisy, a waitress he'd become smitten with, chronicled in his song Killed by a Flower on the debut album. He was 23 years of age, and it was while singing in a Manhattan apartment building stairwell that Billy Mann was overheard by Mariah Carey and Hall & Oates producer Rick Wake. Rick helped Billy produce a demo that led to the contract with A&M. Billy's music was going to be released on the legendary label founded by Herb Alpert and Jerry Moss, an imprint that gave us the music of the Carpenters, Peter Frampton, Cat Stevens, Supertramp, Styx, Joe Cocker, Janet Jackson, Amy Grant, Sheryl Crow, Bryan Adams, and The Police. This should have been the happiest time in Billy Mann's life. In 1995, Billy's fiancée, Rima, was diagnosed with stomach cancer. They married, and Rima died within the year. Rima was not physically there for the unveiling of the dream they shared together, but her spirit certainly was. Billy told me about their love story. He told me how his longing for Rima was possibly keeping her earthbound. The album Earthbound is filled with the joy of that relationship as well as the heartache of loss and having to begin again. And how many times have we all had to begin again? I'm beginning again right now. Earthbound, in my opinion, is one of the best albums of the 1990s, and I highly recommend it and his self-titled album. So within weeks of the release of Earthbound, the second album in 1998, the A&M record label was merged into the Universal Music Group, which had been bought out by Seagram. A&M, which carried the stamp of excellence for all intents and purposes, vanished overnight. There was not going to be a large promotion and marketing campaign in order to introduce Billy Mann's new music to you and I. The best laid plans of mice and men. The one thing no one has ever quibbled about is Billy Mann's ability to write a catchy tune. Writing and producing strong songs is what he has been doing the decade plus since those original attempts to become an overnight sensation failed. Of course, we never fail, right? We just fall forward. We fail forward. We learn how not to do something. He co-wrote Treat Her Like a Lady, which appeared on Celine Dion's 1997 album Let's Talk. His relationship with Hall & Oates generated the number one light rock hit song Do It for Love in 2003. He wrote and produced Jessica Simpson's hit With You in 2004. Billy Mann contributed seven songs to Pink's 2006 album I'm Not Dead. The list of artists that Billy has worked with as a songwriter or producer includes Ricky Martin, Backstreet Boys, Martina McBride, Carole King, Art Garfunkel, Paula Abdul, Josh Groban, Mary J. Blige, and his former label mate Sting. It's a pretty good company, right? In 2006, the New York Times, www.about.com, named Billy one of the top 10 music producers of the year. He has made contributions to recordings that have sold in excess of 90 million copies as of this moment. And you never heard of him until today. From 2007 through 2010, Billy was with EMI Music in several capacities, including president of New Music, A&R International, and president of Global Artist Management, overseeing content on all the continents around the world. In other words, he was helping to recognize and fulfill the promise of the artists on that label at that time, giving them the best shot of success. Following the 2010 earthquakes in Haiti and Chile, he led more than 50 artists from around the world to action with the Red Cross and an EMI initiative called Answer the Call. In January 2011, Billy was named president of Creative BMG North America, leading the efforts to attract, develop, and sign new artists. Billy Mann is also a board member of Autism Speaks and co-founder of Rima Hort Foundation, which was created in September of 1995 by friends and family of Rima Hort Mann to honor her joyful and vivacious life after her untimely death at age 30. This organization acts as an advocate for emerging artists and is a means of support for individuals suffering from cancer. If you want to find out more about the organization and how to donate, go to Rima Hort Mann Foundation. That's RemaHortMann Foundation.org. So Billy Mann knows what it is like to share his divinity in ways we have only touched upon here. And one of the most successful music artists of the last 15 years is Pink, and she says of Billy, "Heart and soul, Billy Mann, what an incredible force you are. Thanks for helping me change my life." Sting says, "Billy Mann is the new generation super producer songwriter. He seems to successfully balance his musical gifts with his big heart and warm spirit." Wouldn't it be nice for anybody to say something like that about us? I actually have had that happen, and I'm sure you have too. I can attest to the spirit that Billy Mann has as I spent a couple of days with him in 1998. His inner light illuminated the studio with the words he spoke for his beloved Rima, and how thrilled he was to record Earthbound with his childhood buddies. Your life is your song. The key is to be in harmony. It's your song, but you're responsible for the harmonics. So listening to a Billy Mann pen song is good. Hearing him sing his songs for me is better. You can find his two studio albums at Amazon.com. Just put Billy Mann, M-A-N-N. I still believe he is going to be known someday as a great singer as well. As a songwriter, producer, and music label executive, his voice needs to be heard, shared. If I would have thought about it, I would have uploaded one of his songs to share with you, but I didn't do that. Billy remarried, and he and his family live happily in Connecticut. You can visit BillyMann.com and stay up to date with the various ways he is expressing God through his inherent divinity and living the undeniable life. Part of the plan. Regardless of whether your plans have materialized as you thought you imagined them, the most important idea is that you are God's plan. Told you I'd get to this part. You don't have a plan, you are the plan. You don't have a purpose, you are the purpose. You don't have promise, you are the promise. You're the promise God made to mankind. You're the purpose, love, the only purpose that there really is. And you are the plan. You are the executioner of purpose and promise and love. Did you get that? So when operating from divinity, you create divinely. Once you get this, there's no going back to an undivine life or a divineless life. You will still make mistakes, but you will be consciously aware. You will no longer be satisfied with mediocrity in whatever form it is offered. Once your inner divinity starts to express through you, with you, and as you, you will acquire divine tastes. You will want the best for you and your family and the universe. You will want to create a service or product worthy of your dignity, integrity, and divinity. There is no way to know how much the world can change for the better when you express your divinity and fulfill your promise. The world gets better one soul at a time. A flu virus can be contagious, so why not a quality of God as well? We've seen this historically through the messages and works of Jesus, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, and more. Why not you and me, individually or collectively? Why not us? It can, when you accept your divinity and live the undeniable life. That's why this show is called The Undeniable Life. Awake, ye sleeping beauties, children of God. You are the purpose, the promise, the plan. Awake, for you are God's best idea. I have just enough time to share one more story. This next person is somebody who you do know very well, probably. Chapter 14, and you are God's best idea, divine expectations and living the undeniable life, on Balboa Press and Hay House, available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, BalboaPress.com, and you can ask for it at your local bookstore. By the way, you can visit me, YouAreGod'sBestIdea.com. And I'm on Facebook, YouAreGod'sBestIdea.com. And I'm on YouTube, at Douglas Holzmeier. That's where I've got videos chronicling my 140-pound weight release so far. Chapter 14, Divine Aspirations. An overwhelming desire suggests that it is within your reach, so reach within. I shared some of this yesterday. I want to share it more completely today. You have as many chances as you're willing to take. We are often told tales of missed opportunities and boats that have sailed as if they are equal to the number of thumbs we have. Even the magic genie offers you three wishes. For a person living a limited life of hopes and wishes, hoping to be accepted here, wishing they could go there, the only opportunities they miss are the ones they fail to meet. You are the one who decides to answer opportunity. Opportunity knocks on the open door. Great possibilities begin with great responsibilities. Opportunity wastes not its time on the irresponsible. For those who do not accept responsibility squander all opportunity. You don't get to try and then blame. There's no need to blame if things don't go perfectly well. You know the story, whether we're talking about Einstein or Tesla or Abraham Lincoln. Every great person, every great deed came at the end of a lot of misdeeds or missteps, trial and error. You know that. So there will be naysayers who will try to attach to you the change they have forged for themselves. You know, success bothers a lot of people if they're not the one having it. You ever have a friend, You know, when I lost weight several years ago, 10 years ago, I lost some weight. There was a whole lot of people around me who were jealous and weren't real happy with that. I have found that that hasn't been the case this time. I seem to be getting support from the universe in all ways. But the difference this time is I asked the universe for this assistance. I did an affirmative prayer, and so I've been very well supported. I'm not forcing the weight off like I did 10 years ago. Opportunity requires application. Two people see the same opportunity. One applies, the other ponders. One acquires, and the other wonders. What happened? We all have had the experience of seeing a TV commercial and saying, I thought of that. That whole Snuggie thing, I was doing that as a kid. I was doing the Dairy Queen thing, mixing cookies and ice cream before the Blizzard was ever thought of by Dairy Queen. What have you thought of and did that someone else trademarked or patented many years later and made $1 million with? Great inspirations begin with great aspirations. The person who aspires to make toast will not receive the inspiration to create a multi-million-dollar bakery. The origin of aspire is the Latin to breathe upon or to pant after. So what makes you pant? Make a list of those aspirations. Not an index of wants or needs. Opportunity doesn't care about meeting your needs. Opportunity is only interested in your ability to make the most of it. The right idea will pop into your head not long after you let the universe know what you aspire to. So go ahead and write down your aspirations, your dreams, goals, and ideas. Find photos of the things you want to acquire and or accomplish. And this is something that I did with the first book. When I wrote the first 20,000 words, I printed it out so it was real to me. And it was only a couple of weeks ago that I printed out the second book to make it real to me. And I've been sitting on the follow-up material since 2012, and I just hadn't got around to printing it out. Now that I've printed it out, it's more real to me. So hopefully it'll be published this summer. Let's see. All right. So it might be that your aspiration is to simply be a better person, a better spouse, a better servant to mankind. Probably led you to all these things, this show, you know, the other books that you've purchased recently, maybe some other blog talk radio shows. You're a seeker. You're seeking. And what you are seeking is seeking you. It's divinity. It's love and peace, kindness, all of those wonderful things. So I believe that once you express a desire to aspire, what was once concealed is revealed. Resources, people, finances, ideas, and more raise and wave their hand, announcing their presence because they know you have beckoned and that you're ready to rock. So are you ready to rock and get down with your bad self? I think you are. I know you are. I know I am. So be bold. Be nothing like anyone, and everyone will want to be like you. Catch that? When some original comes along, and we go, man, when the Beatles came along, everybody wanted to be like the Beatles. It wasn't Frankie Avalon anymore. It wasn't the McGuire sisters. When the Beatles came along, it was the Beatles. So everyone has what it takes, because what it takes is what everyone has. Did you catch that? Everyone has what it takes because what it takes is what everyone has. That's inherent divinity. That's a connection and a unification with the one power that exists, and that's God. Now, these are original strings of words that came to me once. I told the universe that I was willing and ready to be used to express the light and motivate people to believe in themselves and accept their light, their inner light. So you have what I have. You've got what it takes. It's inherent. So how you express this divinity will be unique to you as it benefits us. Life is a gift exchange. By the way, the opportunity doesn't always appear where the opening seems, but where it will be. That's how Wayne Gretzky played hockey. He skated to where the puck was going to be. All the great the baseball batter swings the bat where the ball is going to be. You know, hitting the curveball is the hardest thing to do in all of sports. So the best curveball hitters swing not where the ball seems to be headed, but where they think it's going to eventually curve toward. The best rebounders in basketball don't get right under the basket, because rarely does the ball carom and fall directly underneath the basket. You know, Jerry Lucas was the best rebounder of all time, and he was only 6'8". He wasn't 7 foot tall, but he knew where the ball was going to be, and he went there, and it came right to him. We need to do that metaphysically in our mind. So, be here now. See what's next. There is always an open opportunity for those who aspire to welcome opportunity. Will you care if someone doesn't think you have what it takes, or if they don't like your idea? All that really matters is that you are the very best idea that is, and that's, well, that is God. That is the divine, and you are it. The entertainer. I promise, here comes the story. When I was living and working in Wheeling, there was a young man who would sing and play the guitar any place he could. He was from Glendale, West Virginia, where George Brett, the Hall of Fame baseball player, was born. Now, there wasn't a fair or carnival where he didn't strum and sing. He went off to college to learn about the music business and then came back with a signed recording contract in the late 1990s. Now, I was working at a radio station that was literally stationed in the historic Capitol Music Hall, home of the iconic Jamboree USA radio broadcast on WWVA. Every giant of the country music industry performed there beginning in 1933. Now, our subject was allowed to open for some of these superstars during the 1990s. In 1999, his first album was finished, and he wanted to have the official release party, CD release party, in the Capitol Music Hall ballroom. So when the request to have the party in our facility was announced at the department head meeting that week, one of the theater employees chortled, laughed, and scoffed, adding several insults about the young fellow never becoming anything, and how she thought the fact he had a contract and made a record was joke. A few others in the room snickered. I didn't. I was dismayed. Regardless of personal taste, this was a local talent who the theater representative knew. Why wouldn't she and the others be happy he was about to embark on his dream? Sound familiar? Have you had some people not get on board with your dream? Chortle behind your back, maybe even in front of you. So no matter what anyone else believes, you are the only one who can drive your dream. You are the only one who knows where you want to go. This young man's aspiration was grand, as in the Grand Old Opry. The higher the hurdle, the closer to the top you are when you clear it. The album release party did take place. The title of the album is Who Needs Pictures? And the guitar picker from Glendale, West Virginia, is Brad Paisley. Brad won the 1999 Best New Male Vocalist of the Year award, and as of this writing, Male Vocalist of the Year on several more occasions. In fact, he has had 15, as of 2011, number one country hits. I'm sure he's added at least He's probably added at least five to ten more since then. On November 10th, 2010, Brad Paisley won country music's top prize, CMA Entertainer of the Year. Not bad for a kid who some used to chuckle at and who is now picking and grinning his way to the Country Music Hall of Fame. Brad Paisley would be the first to tell you that he didn't always sing the right tones or right notes, which may have been the reason for some of the locals' lack of faith. But a sour note is just a reminder to sweeten the tune, not to doubt the song. I don't believe in doubt. It is a liar. There is a story about Brad deciding he was going to marry actress Kimberly Williams after seeing her in the Father of the Bride movies. Brad and Kimberly did indeed Mary in 2003, 9 months after she appeared in one of his music videos. That's a smart guy. Now, that's aspiration meeting opportunity, wouldn't you say? The Paisleys have two sons and are realizing all of their aspirations through the acceptance and expression of their divinity while living the undeniable life. Give your dream an aspiration date. I don't have time to do another chapter, but I will give you a prelude to what we'll be sharing tomorrow. Divine intentions. I would rather set sail upon the uncharted seas of possibility than row across the pond of probability. Listen to that one again. I would rather set sail upon the uncharted seas of possibility than row across the pond of probability. The greats don't settle for the probable. They go for the possible that most think is impossible. I'm going to wrap things up at this point because I don't want to get into any of the other chapters. And what I will share are some of the epigrams. I'm known as the Epigram Man on Twitter. I've written nearly 1,600 of them. They are all archived at twitter.com/God's Best Idea. And then I incorporate them into the essays. Here are just a few. Life is a gift exchange. That's my view of the law of attraction. View your gifts knowing that when they are fully expressed, you are accomplishing what you came in here for. We need to express. We need to expand. Something's got to give. It might as well start with you. Again, with the idea of a gift exchange, if there's no giving, there's no getting. So the more the universe has given everything to us, the more we as individuals and as organizations or groups give, the more those gifts are multiplied and returned to us in whatever way we imagine. We are all contagious. The only question is what we are giving each other. What are you giving your family, your fellow employees, your church or center, your civic organization? How about your neighborhood? We're not very good at being neighborly like we used to be. Never exchange the gift of free will and self-reliance for the change of certainty. One of my favorite authors, Ralph Waldo Emerson, his most famous essay is on self-reliance. Never exchange the gift of free will and self-reliance for the change of certainty. When the time comes that nothing goes forth from you other than that which you would be glad to have returned, you will have become. When the time comes that nothing goes forth from you other than that which you would be glad to have returned, you will have become. Don't say anything that's going to get you in trouble or that is going to be multiplied and sent back to you. You know, judgment, criticism, it's going to come back to you tenfold. Don't do it. All right. This is the Living the Undeniable Life radio show on Blog Talk Radio. I am Douglas Holzmeier, author of You Are God's Best Idea, Divine Acceptations, and Living the Undeniable Life. This show is heard most every weekday at 1 o'clock Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for being here. Please visit me at yourgodsbestidea.com. If you sign up for my newsletter, I will give you a gift, a very, very nice gift that's worth, about $40 or $50. Remember, as we go, you are divine and important, needed and necessary, loved and the beloved. You are God's best idea.